from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Yeah, this is my favorite time of year. Not because it's Super Bowl Sunday, it's because this is the time of year where I get to interview the candidates for both city council, county board, and some other seats that are available. And this is all coming up February 17th. So you got to get out there and vote. As I told you last week, actually the week before too, is that the voter turnout is very low for these. 10-12% make the decision for the whole district. So And today we've got a number of different candidates coming in, actually from some different districts. And our first guest is Michael Brzezinski. And Michael is running in District 9. He can tell you a little bit about that. But, of course, that's the downtown, kind of the west side of the river. And so, Michael, let's just start with, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for alderperson.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me a chance to introduce myself. But, when I found out Brian wasn't running, I started really thinking about what the future of our district was going to be, and I thought it was a good idea for myself to step up and take that responsibility on. I've been in that district now almost 19 years. My wife and I have been active in the community for years. She used to work at the New Community Shelter. She's with the Jackie Nischke Center, and we have always been active in our community, and we really want to just make sure that, and I really want to make sure that our community is best represented and that we are doing the most we can to make our community better, and want to just make sure that, you know, it's attractive for not only the people that are still there, but the people that could be coming to our district and to our neighborhoods, to make sure that they feel welcomed and they feel involved with the community, and make sure that they really feel like make it a place of home, because that's what we feel like it is. That's what I feel like it is. It's home for me. I mean, I really do love living in District 9 and in the neighborhood that we have. I think our neighbors are really great, and we need to focus on those the most.
Now, I was just going to say that you've got a unique district, although they're all unique in their own way, but you not only have neighborhoods, but you also have on Broadway, which is
correct.
That would be a focal point for the city of Green Bay, right? You know, there's downtown, yes, Green Bay, there's on Broadway, there's a couple other places that are hot spots. But, and tell me, what are your thoughts of on Broadway? I mean, I think they're doing okay. They've been struggling a little bit lately, but what are your thoughts on Broadway?
I think they're doing great. Yes, they are struggling lately. Yes, that the public market is a hot topic with everybody, and we know that. I remember Broadway when I was younger, a different Broadway than what is there now.
I think we all do.
Everybody does. So I think they're doing great. I mean, even the Shipyard District, all that stuff is really improving that area. And I want to keep improving those areas, because it really does help. It helps attract people to our city. Right. And it's not just the Green Bay Packers. I want people in there all the time to make sure that, you know, everybody's there. I mean, it's a great place to be. I mean, everybody loves the farmers markets. I mean, it's hard to find a parking spot on Wednesdays most days. You really got to cruise around the neighborhoods and the parking lots just to find a spot. So that's great, and I want to keep going with that sort of feel.
All right. So we're talking with Michael Brzezinski, alderman candidate for District 9. I'm sure you have, but can you share with us a couple of your top 2 to 3 issues that you think are facing Green Bay, something that you want to kind of lean into over the next couple of years? 4 years, maybe? Eight, 10?
Yes. I mean, well, as many years as they would reelect me, I guess.
Not more than 12.
got to get there first, though. Got to get there first.
I know.
I think one of the things is, yes, we need to keep developing those downtowns. We also need to focus back a little bit on the neighborhoods. Like, I look at our neighborhood and our neighborhood association is the old Neighborhood Neighbors Association. We don't have a green space. We don't have a park. We don't have anything like a meeting area that we could have events at. I remember that was always a struggle for us with the neighborhood association, is when we want to have an annual meeting or a picnic, we had to, a couple of times we had to shut down a section of city street, and we had to get permission for that. I think bringing some of that back. I mean, we have the rail yard and we have the coal piles, but I think we really need to start looking at practical solutions to get some of those projects moving forward. I look at that. I drive over that rail yard probably every day, and I look down on there and I'm like, man, there is so much we could do with that area. I know it would be a lot to get it going, but I think we really need to get something in place to utilize that area if we could.
All right. So tell me, we just a limited time here, but tell me for the listeners, for your district, but you really represent the district, but the whole city is what you make decisions on. And I think some people forget
Correct.
That. And so just tell me about some experience or civic or personal experiences that you've had that really think make you the best qualified candidate out of through this primary.
I think one of the things that makes me the best, I have been involved with not just our district, but a lot of different events throughout our city. So, I mean, and yes, living in that neighborhood gives me a good perspective of that neighborhood. But I think most of our neighborhoods all across the city of Green Bay are the same. People just want to belong. They want to feel proud of where they are, and they want to make sure that they have, good streets, good sidewalks, and a practical solution for all of those things. And they just want to feel informed. That's the other thing too, I've found as I've talked to people is they don't feel like they're as well informed as they should be. And so, I think that's one thing I really want to bring back to them is the information and the general knowledge of why decisions are made and how they're made.
Good. That leads to my next question is how are you going to communicate with your constituents and how do you want them to communicate with you? Because I mean, that's why I think we have this show Lean Local the info is not out there and we're trying our best, but I mean, when the alderman shows up, that's a good sign. So what are your thoughts on communication?
I think shows like this are a good way to get that communication out. But also I have a Facebook page that I started for this candidacy. I have a website that I've started for this candidacy. They can call me on the phone. They can email me. And the other thing I think that would be is really important is to get out to those neighborhood association meetings and actually sit in those neighborhood association meetings to have the one-on-one face-to-face conversations and really hear what people want to see done and what they need to be done and what their issues are.
Okay. Michael, tell me, how can we communicate with you right now before the primary? I mean, it's just a few weeks away. You got a website or whatever, a phone? Just give us some information.
Sure. I have a Facebook page. It's Michael Brzezinski for District 9. And I have a website that is michaelbrzezinskigb.com.
All right. Well, good luck with everything. This is, you've heard me say a million times, I think everyone should be a waiter or waitress and run for public office. Because that's when you really find out how...
You really do learn a lot. From being in the server industry. I was a bartender. I was a bouncer. I know... My wife was too, and we really.
Oh man!
It makes you understand everything.
All right, humble too. All right, Michael. Thank you very much. Good luck on the trail, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, sounds good, Jim. Thank you very much.
You bet. Primary candidates in that election, that Super Bowl Sunday today, but that election's right around the corner, February 17th. And it's just so important. I know I said this in the last segment, but it's such a small voter turnout. I'm not sure why, but 10, 12% of the people are going to make the decision that who's going to advance to the general election, which of course is in April. So my next guest is with the county board, right? We have 12 people on the city council. We have 26 on the county board, and a number of them have primaries. And primaries is where we go from a number of candidates and limit it to two. And one of the candidates who's running in District 2, which is on the east side of Green Bay, is Rachel Maas. And Rachel, welcome. Thanks for coming in studio. I like that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate you being here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of why you're running for county board.
Yeah, so I ran for the seat back in 2022, and I felt like I had something to contribute to the county. My background, my skill set, and now the seat is open. I'd like to thank Tom DeWayne for his years of service, but now the seat is open. So I'm throwing my hat in the ring for similar purposes to why I chose my day job as a prosecutor. I want a safe community for my kids, their friends, our neighbors. I'm hoping to, move things in a positive direction, maintain a responsible budget, advocate for homeless outreach and resources. So there are a lot of things that I'd like to accomplish on the board. And I think that I've got the ability to build rapport with other members on the board and the skills to make things happen.
I want to lean into that just a little bit. Because the county board, I was on the county board a long time ago, but building consensus is part of the job. People go in there, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Well, no, you're really not. I mean, you really need 13 people plus, it's probably 14, right? Yeah. So tell me, Alan, this is a double-part question, but one is like, what are your one or two things that you really want to get on there and get done? And then secondly, I want to talk more about this building consensus, because that is not easy, as you know.
Yeah. So first of all, I think that the accountability and transparency piece is something that a lot of candidates who are running are really motivated by. I mean, it's shocking that with all the member municipalities streaming committee meetings and board meetings, that the county board hasn't figured out a way to record and stream their meetings and be able to hold members accountable for what they're saying in the meetings, how they're voting, whether they're showing up for meetings. So I think that transparency piece is really huge. As a local attorney, I'm also a big advocate for the justice system and making sure that that the county board is supporting the justice system. And the county board is responsible for a lot of justice in our county. They oversee the budget for the sheriff's office, for the jail, for the court system. And we have such a gem in our local county with how the county handles specialty courts and treatment courts. So I want to support that effort. I also would advocate for a specialty court that focuses on issues of homelessness and how unhoused individuals interact with the justice system and getting them resources and housing. So that's huge. But to your question about consensus, I'm running as a nonpartisan candidate. I chose this race because it's a nonpartisan position. I want to keep partisan politics out of local government. It doesn't take a partisan position to, salt the highway, to run the court system, or to, provide health and human services. These are nonpartisan issues. And to build consensus, I think just focusing on people, focusing on, neighbors helping neighbors instead of a political position or a partisan position is really important.
Rachel, just in the time we have left, how are you going to communicate with your constituents? I think that's not as good as it used to be. I don't want to just speak from when I was there, but, sometimes you don't hear anything. How are you going to communicate with your constituents? And then how do you want them to communicate with you?
Yeah, so I've gone door to door. I've hit a few hundred houses with campaign materials, talking to people. I have a Facebook group, Rachel Mays for Brown County Supervisor, District 2. My email address is mays4bc@gmail.com. And I've got a phone number, 920-393-8033. People can reach out to me anytime by text, email, phone.
No reason not to, right? I mean, it's all out there. So, all right. Well, thank you for doing this. As I say, you've heard me say a million times, I think everyone should be a waiter or waitress and run for public office. Because it's a learning experience.
And it's good to have competition.
Yeah, so. It is. This is great. Well, all right. Well, good luck with this. February 17th, of course, is the primary. There's early voting, so keep tabs on all that. And good luck to you. I hope to see you again.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Local, this is the time of year, my favorite time of year, not because it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's because we bring on the candidates who are running for public office, primarily in the city and the county, although there's other people we'll be bringing on later. But as you know, the county board is 26 representatives that represent the Brown County. And we have one that we're going to be talking to in just a second. And of course, we have some city council people coming up too. I just want to remind you again before William comes on, how important it is to vote in the primary. It's just a very small voter turnout. And we were kind of talking before we came on, is some people like, I'm not going to vote for you. You got it. It's like, no, I don't got anything without you. So just take the time. There's early voting. Of course, there's great voting locations pretty close to everyone. So anyway, well, let's get to what's important now. And that's William Schwisser, District 2 County Board candidate. There's a primary in that district. So on February 17th, it's going to be narrowed down to two. And those two will advance, of course, to the general election. So, William, nice to meet you and welcome.
Nice to meet you as well.
All right. So tell us, let me just start off very general with, tell me a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for county board supervisor.
I work as a forklift driver for Ryder. Been working there for about 3 years now. And I decided to run for county supervisor because I saw a lot of people struggling, a lot of systems that weren't working, and I want to work to make them actually work.
So let's lean into that a little bit. Two or three things that really come to mind that people would look at you and say, this guy's going to work on that. I mean, there's a million things to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a huge
list.
It's an endless list. And sometimes I like to ask candidates, you got two or three that really strike your heart?
One of the biggest is housing, because me and my wife have lived here for 10 years and haven't been able to get a house. And our rent constantly goes up. And I'm sure everybody feels the same about that. And I'm losing my voice. I apologize.
So housing, and I would agree with the statement that it's changed unbelievably in the last 10 years and maybe longer, but for sure the last 10 years. And do you have some kind of solutions that you're thinking about or something that the county board could do to help ease the pain of housing?
I mean, I have some ideas, but it's a complicated process. Like it involves like the people who build the houses. It involves incentivizing the developers, there's the word,
right,
to build affordable housing that other people can actually afford, and then not just build bigger houses that only people with a lot of money can get.
Right. And don't forget about supporting the technical college, too. I teach at TC, and it's unbelievable, the students that go there.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good students.
Yeah, and our construction has actually, like people who work in construction has actually gone down considerably, which makes it even harder to build houses in a timely manner.
Right. All right. Well, that's something that I am sure people are interested in. Can you tell me a little bit about, a little bit more about yourself, some civic experience or personal experiences? I mean, why do you think you're prepared to be on the county board?
I've done a lot of, not necessarily civic stuff, but I've been kind of around different systems that work. I was in the military for a while.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I've worked a lot of jobs, so I've seen a lot of people. I've worked with a lot of people. So being able to kind of work with everybody.
So let's, and you're right. The systems could all be improved, right? I mean, I was in politics for a while, and I still think we could improve some other systems. But when consensus building is tough,
mm-hmm.
Because everybody goes there with, and you got to get 14 people to kind of agree with you. So
yeah.
Can you tell me how you plan on building consensus for some of your ideas?
Well, a lot of it is going to be maybe research-based, like, hey, this is what we've seen. Let's try something similar. This is what doesn't work in places. Let's try something new. And then it's just kind of talking to people, getting to know them. It's a lot harder to say no to somebody when you actually get to know them in that sense.
I would agree with that. So when the budget is always comes up, every year, and it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And there's things that you want to do, but then there's costs. So if you thought about that, is there something you might want to do instead of doing something else? I mean, the budget, you get $400 million, but it sounds like a lot of money, but it goes quick.
Oh, yeah. I haven't really looked at the budget too much. I know I kind of want to, my intent would be to keep an eye on it, to keep programs that help lower families working. Like, those are my priority to keep funded.
All right. And tell me, I told you this was going to go quick. Yeah. Tell me how you want to communicate with your constituents, right? And then, you know, you get 9,000-10,000 people. And then how do you want them to communicate with you?
I'll probably communicate with them either through directly or through like Facebook.
Do you have that, something you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I have a Facebook. It's William Swisher for Brown County Supervisor,
okay.
District 2. I also have an email, which is just William, it's friendsofswisher@gmail.com.
And spell Swisher.
S-W-I-S-H-E-R.
Okay. Friendsofswisher.com is your email.
At Gmail.
At Gmail, yeah, I'm sorry. And then you've got the Facebook. Mm-hmm. You want to give out a phone number or not? I mean, that's totally up to you.
Not at the moment. I haven't figured out how to make it work.
All right, very good. All right, we'll work on that. You got some time. All right. Well, hey, William, thank you for coming in, and just thank you for running for office. I mean, as I say all the time, I think everyone should be a waiter, waitress, and run for office, because mm-hmm. it just is a good experience. You learn how good people are out there. And so, all right. Well, thank you. Good luck on the trail, and we hope to see you again.
Thank you.
Music, Eric, but it sounded good. I love this song. All right. Hey, we're back. We are interviewing, as I told you, for the next few weeks, actually longer than that, candidates who are running for the city council in Green Bay and the county board in Brown County. And I know people are excited because the Super Bowl's on, but this excites me more than that. This is so important to you as a taxpayer, as a resident. If you've got kids or students, what's the future for them? And those decisions, they're not made in Madison or D.C. They're made right here. And there's 12 people on the city council and, of course, 26 on the county board. And the way the election process works, and you know this, is that people run for office. And February 17th, which is right around the corner, is the primary. And in the primary, you limit, if there's four people running, five people running, it gets narrowed down to two. And those two advance then, the two highest vote getters advance to the general election in April. So here, and we're bringing the primary candidates on. After the primary, February 17th, we'll start bringing on the two people who are geared up to run for that specific office. So, and we'll be with our guest in just a second. But I just want to remind you of something. I know it's the last day, but so this is the Super Bowl, like soup in a bowl. And if you go to one of these participating restaurants, the proceeds of that soup go to New Community Shelter. And that's a shelter where they get people out of homelessness. That is their mission, to end homelessness. And they've been doing this for, I don't know, 20 years. But I just want to remind you that still today it's time. I don't know if soup goes with nachos and brats, but do this for the shelter. So just some of the restaurants, you know, Bay Family Restaurant, the Booyah Shed, Stadium View, Poke the Bear in the Northland, Nicolet Restaurant, the Abbey, Hey Soup Sister. They have a good soup there. So there's a number of them. There's probably 20 restaurants that do that. But just go to newcommunityshelter.org and look it up if you have time to do that today. It's all day. The Super Bowl is not till, I don't know, 5. I don't even know what time it's on. But you got all day to run out and get some soup. So why don't you do that? And they would appreciate it. And so would the participants at the community shelter. So, again, primary elections are coming up. And this is exciting because there's a lot of primaries. Sometimes there's none. I was looking up when I first ran in 97, I looked up my primary results, and not a lot of people vote in the primaries. I mean, you get 10, 12, 15 people can make a difference. And, you know, you can also, and that's amazing, because if you don't make the primary, you're done. I mean, you can run as a write-in, I guess, but, it's really the two top vote getters. And, we have Tarl Knight with us, who's running in District 9. We've had some other candidates in from District 9. There's, of course, four people running in that district. And I ask them all pretty much the same questions, because it's just them getting to know you and you getting to know them on this show. So So why don't we just kick it off? Tara, welcome.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you back here. So just very general, like, tell us a little bit about yourself and really, why are you running for Alderman?
Sure. Well, I've owned and operated the Tarleton Theater in our downtown since 2018 and presenting hundreds of free and affordable concerts, films, and festivals. I've also served as director of the Shipyard District, Inc., in the revitalization of the Shipyard District, commercial and residential corridors, advocating for businesses, directing revitalization. I've also served as the elected chairman of Green Bay Neighborhoods, supporting our city's neighborhood associations. And I'm running for District 9 because I love Green Bay, and I love what it represents. We're a small town with big city dreams. I'm running to serve because our residents and business owners deserve a community-minded leader, listening, representing us at City Hall, but also throughout our community. I ran in 2024 for the same seat, and despite falling short by a handful of votes against a four-term incumbent, I fulfilled my promise, and I'm working to improve the quality of life in our community through all of my projects.
So you have an interesting district because it's residential, but it's one of the focal points of the city. I mean, the city's like 50 square miles, and you know, you look at the downtown, which I'm a big advocate for. There's like downtown Green Bay Incorporated, and there's the whole On-Broadway district, and there's mm-hmm. been a tremendous amount of money put into the On-Broadway district. Like, how do you balance that? And I want you to, because you got two people that are, I think you have two different segments. Like, some are all residential. So I want to know about that. And then I also want to step back and I want you to tell me the two issues that you think are the most important citywide,
sure.
not just your district, citywide. So.
Well, one of the unique things about District 9 is that it includes many neighborhood associations with a large, diverse number of issues that they're facing. Astor and downtown on the east side are very different from Seymour Park, Tank, Shipyard, Old Norwood, Fort Howard, Western Corridor, Marquette Park on the west side. And, you know, outside of our neighborhood associations, we also have our downtown business districts, like you mentioned, Jim, the downtown, Broadway, and Shipyard districts. So what we have, in a leader in District 9 is a need for someone to step up to represent not only the voices of our neighbors and our residents with very different income levels and needs and opportunities in those parts of the community, but also our businesses. What I've brought to the table in the last decade is business advocacy as a director of one of the business districts, working with business owners all the time in Green Bay to understand how we need to rise to the occasion and meet the moment to support them and revitalize our downtown, creating a really unique destination in the Midwest and in Northeast Wisconsin. But also as chairman of Green Bay Neighborhoods, I've not only volunteered with all of our neighborhood associations and led 50 of them over the last number of years, in leadership training, information sharing, financial support, including $50,000 in street-level neighborhood improvement projects and revitalization initiatives. I've been out there painting pavilions and planting neighborhood gardens and replacing and repairing street signage and lighting and resource donation boxes, little libraries, all kinds of great things. But it's important that we have a leader in District 9 who understands the needs of both our businesses and our residents right now.
And how about the city? The 107,000 people that live here. Are there some issues that you think we're going to be doing better? I mean, anything come to mind?
Yeah, affordable housing is a big one. I'm sure a number of your guests have spoken about that because it's that important. And, District 9 represents the biggest opportunity for development right now in our city. Over half of our city is struggling to afford their homes. Housing market studies call for thousands of additional housing units in Green Bay over the next decade, which means that we need to have a dynamic and immediate housing strategy. So as Alderman, I'll be a leading voice in that conversation, leveraging affordable unit development, public housing on city-owned land, implementing updated zoning codes, housing co-op programs, partnerships like the recently announced Community Land Trust, Green Bay Housing Partnership. And then another one is moving the coal piles and redeveloping our waterfront, which is a big deal for District 9, but for our entire community to have access to our historic waterfront, that's the kind of thing that big cities are made of. Yeah, that's the destination we need in District 9.
That is a big deal for the whole city. Hey, so you've been to city council meetings, but people come in with these great ideas, but you got to build consensus.
Sure.
I mean, there's 12 of you on there. You need at least 6 and the mayor to get something advanced. Do you have a philosophy on consensus building, or how do you see that working? Because it doesn't always work.
Well, a lot of the things I'm talking about, most of them, if not all of them, are pretty common sense ideas, nothing radical. and things that everyone on council hopefully recognizes our needs for our entire community. So, you know, not representing anything necessarily radical, but what's right for Green Bay. And that's based on me listening and being a part of the community and understanding the needs of our residents and businesses. I know that these are issues that are already supported because the council has made incremental steps and, mm-hmm. and our leadership's already on board. I just want to be that last mouthpiece that represents our constituents and gets the item over the line. And, you know, what we're also working with is a lack of experience sometimes. So, you know, having someone who can bring our community to the table and not necessarily be the leading voice, but be an amplifier for all of those other voices, that's important. I'm someone who can organize our community and bring them to the table.
All right. I told you this 7.5 minutes goes quick, but I want to know how you plan to engage with constituents. And then, you know, how can they contact you? And if you have some information, let's give it out now because we're wrapping it up for Tarl Knight. So.
Well, my website, tarlknightforcitycouncil.com, has all of my information there, including what I'm running for and why I'm running. I'm endorsed by our state representatives, Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and Ryan Spotty, and their endorsements and statements are on my website. But I'm also knocking doors, and I'm making calls, and I'm sending mailers, and I've knocked every door in our district so far and left information about myself with my personal phone number. So to those in District 9, please give me a call. I'll make any time to come and meet with you or speak with you over the phone about the issues that matter to you. We're in this to win this together.
All right. One more time on your website.
TarlKnightforcitycouncil.com.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Tarl.
Thank you,
Good
Jim.
Luck on the trail, and we will be seeing you soon. All right. Well, that was another interesting candidate, and that's all District 9. As you know, they have a primary, 4 people running for primaries out there. And we're going to focus on the primaries for the next few weeks because we have till the 17th of February to vote. But with that said, people like to early vote. They like absentee vote. They like to early vote. And I think that starts tomorrow. I mean, you can just go to My Vote, WI, and you can look up, tells you where you can vote, who's on the ballot. Some people don't always know what's on the ballot. And there could be more than just city or county. Could be a judge on there or a school board person on there. My focus is really on the local political entities right now of the city and the county. And with that said, so this airs obviously on Civic Media, 97.9 FM. And you can download that too. So you don't have to listen at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. Although there's a lot of business shows on TV and on radio on Sunday mornings. And somebody like me, I enjoy that. I like getting up and then listening to some of those things and then going on my day with my sports. But if there's, so you can go to the Civic Media app, just download it, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. And or you can, any streaming service that you have for music, right? Spotify, it's all on there. So take a listen if you're driving to work Monday or whatever, Monday night. And then the other thing I want, I'm doing this for you, right? I mean, I want the listeners to get engaged. I'm disappointed, but is with the voter turnout, right? I mean, 11, 12% of eligible voters are going to vote in the primary. Okay, that means, you know, 88% aren't. And I get it, but it's pretty easy to vote. I mean, it's usually walking distance from your home. And then I said with absentee and early voting, I just think it would be great if you would vote. I am happy that we have more candidates running this term than we did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, 50%, 75% of the county board went unopposed. And this year it's 50%. So I think, I hope I'm a small part of that. But, you know, every time I see you, you know, in the mall or at a restaurant or at the gym, I always tell you, well, you thinking of running for office? You know somebody who will? Because I just think competition is good. I mean, the incumbent could be great, but, you know, if they've got competition, they may just sharpen their pencil a little bit or get some more literature out or knock on your door a few more times. And I just think that's good for the community and for community engagement. So, but yeah, we have District 10 coming up, and that's pretty interesting. There's a primary there, obviously. District 9, we had a couple candidates. We'll have a couple more. District 2 in the city, District 1 in the city, I mean, that's an interesting race, too. There's a primary coming up there. And we invite the candidates. We hope they can come in, but if they can't, I mean, I only record, you know, one day a week because we've got a producer, we've got a co-host, and we can only make it one day, and that's all Civic Media gives us for our studios one day. So if they can't make it, that's unfortunate, but we do invite everyone. Just know that. We would never, ever slight anybody. So, but the most important thing, besides the candidate, actually more important than the candidate is you. And it's you to listen. And you've got some suggestions, you know, you can use Civic Media app and send them in to me. And, you know, why don't you look at this or why don't you ask this? And if you're saying should I ask tougher questions, I will after the primary. This is my focus right now. With the primary is, and the questions are pretty much the same. Why are you running? Tell me about yourself. What do you see as the top two issues? But we'll drill down a little harder after we get the two candidates. So anyway, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about some other things that are going on in our community. And thanks for listening. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everyone. We're going to be wrapping it up here on Lean Local. And like I said, today's a special day in the country, well, probably in the world now with the way they go international, but Super Bowl Sunday. And that's one day, and a lot of people, I don't know what the viewership is, but it's unbelievable worldwide. But the other Super Bowl that's going on today is Super, like S-O-U-P-E-R, Bowl. And that's where participating restaurants are serving unique soups. And if you go in and buy the soup, a part of the proceeds go to help the new community shelter, which is right off Broadway on Mather Street in Green Bay. And, you know, that shelter, they know what they're doing. I mean, we don't even call it a shelter so much, a homeless shelter, as we do a between-home shelter. Because the people who get there go under pretty extensive programming, and everybody says, oh, the employees work so hard there. Nobody works harder than the residents who are there. We have 116 people living there right now, with a little bit of a waiting list, and we need to get people out, but not too soon. But we have resources, we have counselors, we have an on-site alcohol and drug counselor, and all this stuff costs money. And this Super Bowl is one of our events that we do there. So, you know, the game's tonight, you got some time. And just stop in. You can go to newcommunityshelter.org. That's the website. And all these restaurants are listed. But, you know, it's just good businesses, good that contribute back, right? Bay Family Restaurant, it's Super Day, the Pancake Palace, the Booyah Shed, Not By Bread Alone, Stadium View, Rock Garden is on there, Poke the Bear at the Northland Hotel, which is cool, and DePere, Sidekicks, Nicolay, The Abbey, Hey Soup Sister, Hilly Haven Golf Course, and Euro Kebabs. So, but just look at that, see what kind of soup they're serving and what type of proceeds go to the shelter. I would appreciate that, and nobody would appreciate it more than the residents who are at the community shelter right now. And so that's that. And let me just plug a couple of our sponsors. I mean, it costs money to put these shows on, and thanks to a couple sponsors and a couple more that are coming on, I just want to thank them. And, you know, one, as I talk about often, is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin homes ask a lot of their windows and doors. With our volatile weather, they need to be ready for just about anything year-round. So Pella's and Windows Doors of Wisconsin focuses on quality, durability, and everything they do. And I can attest to that because I have all Pella windows and doors in my house. You shouldn't have to make compromises when it comes to being comfortable at home. So right now, take advantage of 0% financing for up to 4 years. That is a good deal. They didn't have that when I bought my windows. So there's never been a better opportunity to experience Pella in person and get your questions answered. So PellaWI.com, good company. They do a lot for the community and they will do a lot for your house. Secondly is Nicolay Bank, who, as you know, is everywhere. But when you choose a bank, you're really choosing who you trust with your future, right? I mean, these guys just don't hold your money. They lend you money for your car, your house, your kids' education. They also have a fund where you can meet with the financial planner. So, you know, that's why I'm proud to have Nicolay right here in Green Bay as a sponsor of Lean Local. Nicolay Bank isn't a faceless national corporation. It's a community bank built on relationships, local decision-making, and a deep commitment to Northeast Wisconsin. When you walk into a Nicolay Bank branch, you're talking to people who live here. They work here. They understand what matters to you and our community. So whether you're a small business owner, a family planning for the future, or someone who simply wants a bank that still believes in personal service, Nicolay puts people first. Strong communities need strong local institutions, and Nicolay Bank is proud to be part of what makes Green Bay thrive. NicolayBank.com. Great bank. So we are wrapping things up here, and we have some good, well, they're all good guests, but we have some interesting districts coming up here. And I think what I'm trying to do here, and I've said this before, but like my goal when these elections happen and is what do we need to do to have a thriving Green Bay? What's that going to look like in 10 years? And what can they offer to get us there? After that, I want to talk about economic development, neighborhoods, of course, public safety, fiscal responsibility. But I mean, that's what we're trying to do, is build a community here that people are sought after, not that they have to come to Green Bay, that they love to come to Green Bay and they tell their friends. And Aaron, you are our sit-in producer. Thanks for being here. You're from where?
I'm from Manitowoc, but I've lived in Madison for the past 3 years.
So that's a happening city. I mean, when you read the demographics, the economics, I mean, what do they, I don't really want to ask you, what do they have that we don't have because you don't live here, but something that's the sizzle out there for you?
I think for me, a lot of it is the age group of people, that there's just a lot of people I can relate to. Part of that is because Epic brings in so many people fresh out of college. Yeah. But also there are a lot of things to do, which is something I never thought I would care that much about because I tend to stay home a lot. But when I want to try something new, whether it's, I don't know, a themed bar or a big movie theater or just some weird activity you wouldn't even think of,
right.
You can go
Madison
check
has
something
it.
Out. Yeah.
They really do. And I have a daughter who lived there. And and we're trying. I mean, we look at Madison quite a bit. I have some friends who are mayors. What works for them? Yeah. Kyle, you're what, 21, 22?
Yep. Turning 22 actually at the end of this month.
All right. So what does Green Bay have everything you need to keep you here?
I mean,
you're a smart guy and you've worked for the chamber and now you're entrepreneurial.
It would be nice to see more relatable faces in the area, you know, more people in the age group that are exploring the city and trying new things and getting out there. But one thing I want to say about Madison is that I see the way that I visited there. It was about 2 years ago. I must've been scouting colleges or something, but hopefully, if only my parents would have made me that smart. But one thing that they do really well is that they make a great use of the water. And
definitely.
Green Bay is moving in a direction where we can see a lot more use of the water, especially if we're able to get these coal piles relocated. But that is something that we've seen historical leadership do well with, and it would be something that ideally we could see more of, just involving the water in the future plans for the city.
That's cool. And there's an opportunity here in Green Bay with the water. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, besides the coal piles, I mean, there's the WPS site, there's the Georgia Pacific site. So there's a lot we can do here. So, yeah, we'll keep the conversation going. We'll keep the candidates coming in and hopefully we'll build consensus and do some great things in Green Bay. All right. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.